Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Thanks to Time Out Bookstore, and a good morning and a warm welcome to Suri. How's it going?
Oh, hey, thanks, Johnny. Morena, I'm pretty good. Like, stoked that we're still getting, like, sun and warmth in March. Love to see it.
You and I just talking about how it's pretty tough for the garden, though, because it's been so dry the last few months, hasn't it? It's crazy.
It's been so dry. I've, like, tried to plant, like, 4 different kinds of herbs, and, like, within 2 days they're all, like, kind of wilted and sad.
Now, what book have you got for us this morning?
So this is Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie's latest novel, highly anticipated. So I think a lot of people probably recognize her from, I know that Purple Hibiscus was taught in like a post-colonial studies English lit class at UOA. And then her most famous book was Americana, which followed like a Nigerian immigrant to Stanford who's doing like her master's thesis, and she writes like a blog on the side about like her experience of being a Black African in America. And I think that I haven't read Purple Hibiscus, but I think that, so she took like a little while away from writing. There's like a few years where nothing came out after Americana, which sort of really was like hugely successful. It was like a novel that was like, yeah, really poignant, and I think came just at the right time in culture where like those conversations around class and race were just starting to sort of come to the forefront of like social media. And Dream Count, I think, is like a really interesting continuation of those ideas. But rather than focusing on like a singular story, this looks at the relationship between 4 different friends, all Nigerian immigrants to America, all with like an educated background. And it starts, the first chapter starts with Chiamaka, she's born to like quite a wealthy family. She's beautiful. It feels like everything in her life is going exactly how you could dream. She writes a travel writing blog. She gets paid to travel. But her section really sort of looks at like these relationships in her life that leave her, if not unsatisfied, then like slightly sort of like broken by the experience. But then she's also sort of complemented by these 3 other characters in the book, Kiadatu, Omalgu, who's her cousin, and then this one, I think to me the most fascinating vein in the story is sort of like reflective of, I don't know if you remember Dominique Strauss-Kahn.
No.
So I mean, like, that's so fine. He I want to say maybe 2016 or 17, I feel like, or maybe even earlier. So he was the head of the IMF, and there was like this big but quite short-lived scandal where he was being accused of, just a little trigger warning, of rape and sexual assault. And he had assaulted his housekeeper, and there's a little thread in the story. Like, you hear a lot about, at the time in particular, I think there was a lot about how this was a very famous and very, very powerful man, head of the IMF. And I think when you're head of the International Monetary Fund, it's not just power in the sense of you're like an entrepreneur with a lot of money and a lot of sway. It's also like there's this kind of glossy sheen of like heroism that's afforded to you. And so much of the story then was about his sort of fall from grace and how this was going to ruin his career. And this great man was being taken down, and very little about the story of the woman who was assaulted. And I think Chimamanda really brilliantly sort of breathes life into the woman. Of course, the names are changed and it's not the exact, it's not the head of the IMF, but it is another man in like an incredibly powerful position, and his housekeeper, who is unlike a lot of the women in this story who have a sort of upper middle class, if not wealthy, upbringing. She lives in a very, very precarious zone. She's a poor immigrant from Africa to America, and she's trying to, by any means necessary, scrape together money to create this new life for her daughter. And it looks at how every part of her life is completely changed by this thing that happens to her, the sort of insularity of her pain. I think that was probably the most compelling thread and the most compelling story in the entire book, and really sort of, I think, even though the other stories are super interesting, I think it gives a sense of immediacy that felt maybe a little bit missing in the rest of the novel. But I will say that each of the stories, it's like about women contending with relationships, with sort of like the remaining struggles of power between men and women in heterosexual relationships today, and how despite women entering the workplace, despite women becoming, transcending sort of social and economic class more, there still exist these sort of tensions and power dynamics in heterosexual relationships, and these kind of ways that women shrink themselves to find any kind of success in their relationship, but also maybe how like what women desire has changed as they've entered. It's like maybe the old tropes of romance have fallen away and been replaced by something a little bit more complex. I think there's lots of really interesting ideas in this book. It really sort of unpacks, I think, how every strata of class and social and racial difference, of geographical difference, impacts interpersonal relationships. But I will say, I mean, I'm not like a massive book critic, so take everything I say with a grain of salt. This is just a very personal opinion. I think there are a few stories in there that felt to me like more compelling and that I would have loved to have seen fleshed out a little bit more, and some others that I think Chiamaka's passages could have been maybe even shrunk down a little bit. But I think sometimes, I think it's super ambitious in that it tries to sort of encompass, I think, the entirety of like the experience of being a straight woman into one book. But I do think sometimes it doesn't give you the room to like really get into like a singular truth or like the layers of like one issue, but it's like beautiful and poignant, and there are some like really, really funny parts in it. Like she describes a woman's wig as like having no pretense of being real, or like not trying to not trying to emulate real hair. There's just and some of the like kind of dynamics between Chiamaka and Darnell. Darnell is one of her relationships in the story, and he's African-American and a scholar and academic, and how they just see the world quite differently. And I don't know, there's like lots of really great moments in the book, and she does so many like fun and compelling things with dialogue. She'll also be at Writers, or I think she's zooming into Writers Festival this year, so.
Excellent. All right. Well, what's the title of the book one more time for the people listening?
And that's Dream Count by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. I think it's about $38, mm-hmm. And you can buy it at Time Out and all other good bookstores.
Excellent. Hey, Suri, thank you so much for Loose Reads this morning. And to everyone out there listening, go check out Time Out Bookstore.
Hey, thank you. Bye.
Cheers.
That was Loose Reads.